Good morning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. A welcome to all who are visiting, a special welcome to those who are visiting for the first time. If that is the case, we invite you to take a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We invite you to fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. A special welcome to Dr. Lorraine Luft, who is our guest organist today while Marilyn Glover continues to be on vacation. And we've heard from Lorraine already, and we look forward to hearing more music during the service from her. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and just calling your attention to that. You will see under the upcoming events that we are having a Layperson of the Year lunch on Sunday, June 7th. And it's my honor and pleasure to announce who this Layperson of the Year is this year. The Church Council met last Monday night and reviewed all the nominations that had been made. And this year's honoree is Rosalind Nowak. And I don't think, is Rosalind in the nursery right now? I'm not sure that she's hiding. That was one of the things that many people said, was that so many things she does behind the scenes. And so some people have recognized that. And so we'll be honoring Rosalind during the worship service and a catered meal after the church on June 7th. Tickets will be available starting next Sunday for that. Also, there are a couple other announcements there that I will allow you to read on your own. There is an insert in the bulletin today on the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. We do have our graphic up. We haven't received gifts yet to tally, but we'll be measuring our gifts to the One Great Hour of Sharing offering on that. And there is information on that insert. Also, during coffee hour today, which you're all invited to stay for, there are cards to our missionaries out on a table, and you're invited to sign all those so that the missionaries that are assigned to our congregation will know that we're thinking of them and praying for them. So we invite you during coffee hour to sign those cards. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 254 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from Paul's letter to the Philippians, and let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. The Apostle Paul reminds us, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. But made himself nothing.
Taking the very nature of a servant.
Being made in human likeness.
He found presence, humbled himself.
And became obedient to death.
Even death on the cross.
Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name.
That name of Jesus, every name is God.
In heaven and on earth and under the earth.
Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Glory of God the Father.
Our opening hymn this morning is Look, Ye Saints, the Sight is Glorious. Number 267, those who are able are invited to stand as we sing. Let us pray. Exalted Lord, you reign in the high and holy place, but for your royal throne you choose people of humble heart. We need not gaze into heaven to follow you, for you pledge to abide with all who live in your name. Grant us grace to recognize your presence in the brothers and sisters with whom we live and worship. At the last, Permit us to know you face to face in glory. We ask all these things in your precious and powerful name. And now join in the prayer that you taught as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated. If there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary, I invite you to come forward for our moments together. Good morning. Do you remember Easter Sunday? Okay, most of you remember Easter Sunday. What did you do on Easter? You invited people over. Did you have a big dinner? Come to church? Okay. We worshiped. What were we celebrating? That Jesus was alive, that he had died, he'd been crucified, he was put in the tomb, and he came back to life, and he was alive. We were celebrating that. So you remember how long ago Easter was? Okay. What have you done since Easter? Tell me some things you've done since Easter. You've gone to school, had a lot of tests, okay? Homework. So you've done a lot of things since Easter, 6 weeks ago. You ate candy, especially chocolate. So you remember some things that you've done over the last 6 weeks. Well, that's today we celebrate and recognize the day that it really happened. You know, it's Thursday was the actual day, but Sunday is the day we worship, that the day that Jesus ascended, went up to heaven, and was no longer with the disciples. So the disciples had Jesus since Easter Sunday until now. So think of all the things that you did in the last 6 weeks. And think of all the things the disciples were able to do with Jesus. They ate with him. He taught them. They were able to be with him and learn from him. They're all different things that the Bible tells us the disciples and Jesus' friends and his followers were with him during those 6 weeks. But now he's gone to heaven. And he promised that he would not leave them alone. Even though he was going to heaven, he would not leave them alone. He's still here. That's right. He would send his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and they were supposed to wait for him. So next Sunday is called Pentecost, and that's called the birthday of the church. That's when we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to the disciples, coming to Jesus' friends and followers. And then they have the power to speak and to preach and teach and heal like Jesus did, but in Jesus' name, not in their own power, but through the Holy Spirit's power. So today, I want you to think about all the things you did between Easter and now. And those the disciples were able, they didn't have tests necessarily. They might not have eaten chocolate candy. Well, they might have had some sweets. But all the things that, you know, that you went to school, well, they had some schooling, I'm sure, with Jesus, too. So all the things that amount of time that the disciples had with Jesus. And now, in the church calendar, that Jesus is ascending to heaven today. And that's what we're celebrating today, that Jesus is now Lord, ruling in the heavens. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the time that we have with Jesus. And we're not limited to 6 weeks because of your Spirit, that you were always with us. But we thank you for the Bible that tells us these words and gives us instructions and lets us know how Jesus' first friends, how long they had with him. Lord, we pray that we may continually remember that you are always with us, that we may always turn to you whenever we need you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go to your classes. A nice addition we have to the order of service today is that we will be blessed with a solo by Irene Hoffman entitled A Servant's Heart. Thank you, Irene and Lorraine, for that, is leading us into prayer. I've always been in a spirit of prayer through Irene's solo, and to share some celebrations and concerns with you this morning. We want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, who's at home today, and Peggy is here today, and Peggy's awaiting scheduling of some surgery, so we want to keep Peggy in prayer today. Also, Cindy Huddy is awaiting surgery, so we want to keep Cindy in prayer as well. Also, we want to keep Marilyn Glover in prayer as she continues to be on vacation and on safari in South Africa. So I want to keep Marilyn in prayer. Phyllis Knight is not feeling well today, so I keep Phyllis in prayer. Also, Joe McCary was not feeling well on Friday, and so we want to keep Joe in prayer as well. And I'm not seeing Sophie was here, but I'm not seeing her now. Oh, Sophie went upstairs to teach. Well, Sophie's home from college, so saw her briefly, but so she's upstairs teaching. Oh, so you can be in church today, so that's nice. Okay, so Sophie's here in the building, so it's good to have Sophie with us. We also want to remember in prayer Reverend Henry Fleming, who is not very well at all, and that's father of Jim and Betty's, father-in-law of Jim, one of Jim and Betty's daughters. So I want to keep Reverend Henry Fleming in prayer as well. I want to keep our shut-ins in prayer, those who aren't able to get out. Even though the weather is nicer, but they just, physically aren't able to be out. And we want to keep them in prayer today. And also issues that are going on nationally and regionally in the news. I'll have a couple of those in my pastoral prayer. Do you have any requests for prayer this morning, either celebrations or concerns? Yep, Bev was in church last week after she'd moved, so I want to keep Bev Sandberg as she's transitioning into her assisted living, and seems to be very happy, and so we want to keep Bev Sandberg in prayer. She's doing that transition. Anyone else? Cindy, Richard has a birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday, Richard. Celebrate that. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, it is good to be in this house of yours today to worship you. Some of us have traveled very short distances and others may have traveled many miles to be here today. But Lord, it's good to be able to gather as your people. And as we do that, Lord, we lift up to you our personal and private prayers and petitions and thank you for hearing them. And Lord, we pray now that you will continue to receive our corporate prayers as well. Lord, we lift up those who are ill today. We've mentioned some by name and others we know in our hearts. And just pray that healing according to your will take place in their lives. We thank you, O God, for those who are skilled and trained in the medical field who are able to care for us when we become ill or injured. And just are able to help us, become better physically. Lord, we pray for those who may be in rehabilitation today and trying to relearn how to walk or do things. And Lord, we just pray for them as well. We pray for those who are in mourning this day, O God, having lost a loved one. Just lift them up for your comfort and peace and spirit may be with them. Lord, this day we think of our nation. We pray for the survivors and the victims, those who were killed in the train wreck outside Philadelphia this week. And just pray for that situation and pray for those who are doing the investigation. Lord, we also pray for those who have been affected by storms, tornadoes, and rainstorms, and in our country, earthquakes, and especially in Nepal, we are conscious of that, those who have suffered from two earthquakes now, an avalanche, and just lift them up to you and pray for your spirit to be with them. We pray for the first responders and those who are coming afterwards that they may have the courage and fortitude to do the work that has to be done. Pray that your spirit may be with them as well. Lord, we also pray for our justice system. Lord, we've had two major trials in recent months. And Lord, we just pray for those who are called to jury duty, that have to, that agree to and are called to make decisions about people's guilt or innocence, sometimes even their life or death. And Lord, we just pray for those that have to make those decisions. We pray for those who are in the court system. Pray for the judges and the clerks. Lord, we also pray for the attorneys. And Lord, we also pray for the defendants. Pray, O God, that justice may come to all who are tried. In recent days, Lord, we've perhaps pondered what justice means and what mercy is versus punishment. Lord, we may not have all the answers, but we pray that we may have a clearer understanding of what it is that you want us to be about in this world. We thank you, Lord, that we have a democratic society in this country. Thank you for those who have defended this type of government and who are continuing to defend it and protect it today. And Lord, we lift up all of these things now to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have many ways of worshiping. We have an opportunity to continue in worshiping this morning through presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd and guide us and protect us. We present these tithes and gifts to you in gratitude for all of your blessings and ask that you would bless these gifts and bless us as we share the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this all in his name. Amen. You may be seated. May Upperman is our lay reader today and will be reading the scripture.
The scripture today is Acts 1, verses 1 through 14. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it in your pew Bibles on pages 108 and 109. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in all Judea, ends of the earth. He had said this as they were watching, lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. Suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brother.
Thank you, May. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning the account of Christ's ascension to heaven, putting ourselves in that place, recognizing how exciting, how awesome, perhaps a little anxiety-creating event that must have been. But to see Jesus depart in such a dramatic and victorious way, so different from when he died on the cross. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open this day for a word from you that will help us and strengthen us for our faithful journey each day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you like stories to end? Whether you are watching the latest Hollywood release, the newest installment in a television serial, or reading some hot novel, do you like all the storylines neatly sewn up by the end? Or do you prefer a suspenseful cliffhanger with many details unresolved and with issues and relationships left up in the air? Authors leave more to our imagination if there are a few loose ends. And it also allows opportunities for future sequels. In this primetime television season, many programs are already on their summer hiatus, while others will be airing their season finales in the coming days. Undoubtedly, some will leave us wondering what will happen to our favorite characters over the summer. We'll have probably about 4 or more months to flip a coin and ponder. Heads, they do this. Or tails, that happens to them. But how would we feel if that coin that we flipped up in the air never landed on heads or tails? It just remained suspended in the air. What would we think then? Welcome to Ascension Sunday, the Sunday in the church calendar that we celebrate Jesus being taken to heaven. Today, the proverbial coin is left hanging in the air. It's been 40 days since Easter. In fact, Thursday was 40 days, exactly. Thursday was Ascension Day. But those who don't worship every day of the week, as you know, congregationally, we gather on the Sunday, which is Ascension Sunday. It's been 40 days since Easter. And I asked the children what they've been doing in the last 40 days. And you can think about it for yourself, what you've done in the last 6 weeks. During that time, back in the first century, Jesus has been with his disciples, teaching them, feeding them, and spending time with them. And now it is time for Jesus to go. So Jesus leads the disciples out to the Mount of Olives near Bethany. He rises into the sky and ascends into heaven. Jesus must go up. But with Jesus' ascension, we, like those disciples so long ago, are left wondering what is going on. We're left hanging in the air, so to speak. We know that something has been promised, that Jesus has said something about being clothed on high, and that someday he would return. What goes up must come down. But what does he mean? A little suspense may be okay for our entertainment, but when it comes to actual living, we don't really like not knowing, do we? We want our lives made clear and outlined. Otherwise, we are left with questions. If we were one of the first followers of Jesus, I imagine that we would have been a little uneasy and anxious. What was Jesus talking about? Who was coming? Yes, he had promised that he was going to send someone, but who was it? And what were we going to do with this person? Living today, we know the rest of the story. And we have some of those answers. We know that we will celebrate Pentecost next week. And by the way, next week is Pentecost, and we often call it Red Sunday. So you're invited and encouraged. If you'd like to wear an article of red clothing next week to symbolize Pentecost, you're invited to do that. We know that's going to happen next week, but we're here a week away. The church will be born, and we'll receive the Holy Spirit. But that's next week. On Ascension Sunday, we celebrate and remember that faith is not about knowing all the answers. The disciples didn't know when Pentecost was coming, what was going to happen. They just knew that Jesus had promised and instructed to stay together and wait. Those early disciples didn't know everything, and they certainly neither do we. Faith is about the not knowing, the leaving it up in the air, leaving it up to God, and trusting in God's promises. But none of us likes the up in the air predicament. We want definitive answers. We want to make the safe choices. And sometimes we would rather trust in ourselves than to trust in God. Jesus' ascension is about placing our faith and trust in him. Jesus led those disciples to Bethany. He went up into heaven, and then Jesus left them with only his words as a promise. But it is the response of the disciples that reminds us of our own actions. Those disciples did not despair. They did not leave in tears and mourning, thinking that it was over. They watched Jesus go up into heaven, and then they trusted in his words and devoted themselves to prayer. We read in the book of Acts, all these were continually devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. the disciples responded with praise and worship, despite their fear of the unknown, their need for control, and their questions. The disciples responded with faith. That is what makes those of us who follow Jesus different. Our response to the unknown can be prayer and faith. Those early disciples teach us that we need to have faith, that even in the questions of life, when everything around us is up in the air, faith will move us along and keep us strong. The author of the book of Hebrews in our New Testament defines faith this way. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Our faith is assurance. Even when the going is tough and everything is in question, in the moments of our lives when things are left up in the air, and we just don't know what to do, that is when it is crucial to place our faith in Jesus Christ. This departure of Jesus is very different than when he was preparing his disciples for his crucifixion. In that first instance, as they were sat at the table together in the upper room, Jesus gave them a way of remembering him through broken bread and shared cup. It was a somber time, for Jesus knew that his followers were going to be left alone, like sheep without a shepherd. But all that changed on Easter morning, and the disciples had 40 more days with the resurrected Christ, preparing for their mission of telling others about him. And now, as he had previously predicted, Jesus was again departing, leaving them behind. But there is not so much sorrow in this departure for the disciples as anxious anticipation. They have marching orders and are to await the coming of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promised to give to them. Then they will be empowered to carry on the ministry to which Jesus has hand-selected them to do. From the rest of the chapters in the book of Acts, we know that even with the Holy Spirit, the disciples had challenges and were at times rejected, but they did not lose hope. The ascension of Jesus Christ is our reminder to retain hope even when all seems in question, when we don't have the answers. Those disciples did not stand on that mountain and mourn Jesus' departure. They trusted in his promises and knew that even then they were not alone. The disciples continued through the fear of the unknown and trusted in their Lord and Savior. They gathered together, surrounded themselves with a community of faith, and prayed for the answer and for God's time to be revealed to them. The next time that we are filled with questions, and it seems like only a coin toss can decide, may we remember Jesus' words when he said, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And may we place our trust in our true Lord. May we pray, have faith, and wait for the presence of God. Let's pray together. Lord, at times we do live in unknown times. There are decisions to make, answers to be made, questions to be answered. And Lord, sometimes it is. We feel like we need to toss a coin up the air and let chance and gravity make the decision. Lord, forgive us when we do that. Remind us again and again that you are always with us through your Spirit. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the ascension of Christ that reminds us that we too, like the first followers, may have faith, may be engaged in prayer and worship, that we may find strength and answers for our questions in those times. Lord, as Christ is now seated on the throne, we worship him. We pray, O God, that your Spirit will strengthen us for our daily living here. We await the day when you will call us home and we will see Christ face to face. But until that day, help us to live lives of faith and devotion. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 272. Hear the word of the Lord. I dwell in the high and holy place, but also with you who are humble in spirit. Go in peace. Abide in the Lord. Do good work. The Holy One is our guardian and our guide forever. Amen.